This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Squarespace.com, a great place to make a blog, portfolio, I don't know, even an online store. You got stuff to sell? Why not? All the tools are there. Great themes, responsive designs that work great on tablets and mobile phones. It's an amazing experience every time you use Squarespace.com. Give it a free trial, see what you like, and if you like it, and I know you will, use the code MORNING at checkout. That's 10% off your account. That code again is MORNING at Squarespace.com. Coming up on TMS, it's the summer of biting my legs.
Chuck E. Cheese is no place for hardcore drug use.
Says you. Baby knows how to hide their stash.
Wow, how weirdly coincidental those two together. Tracy Morgan strikes back at Walmart.
There's no more Ramones.
Aw, fitness geek.
Jury duty.
And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You've got your sunrise. You caught a prize. You're making your Johnson. Party nights, summer whites, you, your friends, and your Johnson. Rooster tails, water trails, you, your kids, and your Johnson. Saturday nights, distant lights, you, your girl, and your Johnson.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
Please, let's not go into the details.
The Morning Stream.
I'm getting too old for this show.
This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS, and you're Johnson.
What the hell was that commercial?
We played that before, but it's so ridiculous. I can't even believe it existed. It was a real thing.
You, your friends, and your Johnson.
Right. And I'm trying to remember. Hold on. I can't remember the product that they were pushing because it's. Well, this is all audio now.
Somebody in the chat room said it was a boat motor.
Was it a Johnson
boat motors?
Oh, here it is. Yeah. It's you and your Johnson. You're right. It's a boat motor. Here's the commercial. Let me just grab it.
You got your sunrise.
Yeah, this is it. So I will put this in the chat for those who would like to enjoy it. It's a Johnson. Outboard motor, or on, what do you call it?
Wow.
Outboard? Onboard?
Outboard motor, yeah.
Yeah, that hangs off the back of the deal. And
so give her a motorboat, and then make sure she's got a Johnson.
You, your family, and your Johnson. All right, so we're here, and we're going to do a show. Oh, I didn't even say what it is. It's The Morning Stream, Tuesday, July 15th, 2014. Two more days until... I'm old.
Then let me put away my current geek notes.
Yeah,
for doing TMS.
Toss the. What did I say? I just said TMS.
No, you said TMS.
Oh,
okay, I'm just good. Saying.
Yeah, oh yeah, you just
let
got
me tell
other
them
stuff.
What show it is. So yeah.
Well, I'm a little out of it today.
I'm
so
playing off of you, man.
You could say things today that clearly were playing off of me, or that I should cue into, and I'm not guaranteeing anything.
Are you saying that the jokes that slip by you are going to be even more frequent today than
usual? Yes. So. Combine, you know, my usual, okay, trying to run everything show thing.
Right.
I'll then add to that, I don't know why, but I'm just kind of out of it. I think I ate too many Pez yesterday. I think that was it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
freaking
those things have a
Cleo. Look at
mind-numbing effect.
Yeah, there's so many of them, and I've eaten like 5 packs, and I got to stop. I must stop.
I've been enjoying these Thailand natural wasabi green peas.
Mm.
I don't know how healthy they are because it comes, you know, it's in one of those bags that... is a plastic bag with a weight and unit price sticker on it.
That seems not healthy. Seems like they're not coming straight from the farm fresh, location that they were made in to me.
Yeah, no, I'm sure they're not.
Yeah.
Right off the
but
boat
you'll be
from
fine.
Thailand.
You're a resilient guy. You can do whatever you got. You got a colon of steel. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
I have a colon of cheesecloth.
Tissue paper.
Yeah, tissue paper. So we are here. We're going to do a little show for you. We got stuff coming up like Chin Beard will be here and jury duty and all that stuff. The usual Tuesday shenanigans. Those chuckleheads are coming. So watch for that. Before all that, though, I gotta tell you a couple things. First thing I want to tell you is people are always saying to me, Scott, they say, how can we help the show? And I always say, well, we mentioned it on the show. Well, we don't pound it down your throat, but we mention it once in a while. Best way to support us is our Patreon page.
Yeah.
At patreon.com/TMS, where you can contribute very small amounts of money. on a monthly basis that will keep us not only afloat, but doing cool things, new things, all kinds of things. I really, really want to get to that level where we unlock the game show.
I am too. I mean, I think I was hoping that the TMS, the Frog Pants All-Stars that we did at Nerdtacular would whet people's appetite for more of the same, because that is what it would be, basically, is like a regular frequency game show like that. But instead of, you know, instead of it being all Frog Pants All-Stars, it would be the contestants would be the listeners. You'd come on and you'd try to win prizes. And because there were so many people who were like, you know, in the audience going, oh, I can't believe you didn't get such and such, or didn't know that or this. Well, and I think it'd be fun to actually test them. Well, you know, not, it wouldn't be difficult.
Right.
It'd be kind of hard to do things like movie poster taboo.
Yeah, that would be a little rough, even though that's a favorite, right? People love that.
That is a favorite. Yeah, people love movie poster taboo.
I like it too, because, and I really mean this, there's something very calming about putting that blindfold on and not being able to see a crowd.
You kind of forget that there's
a little bit. It chills me out
with bated breath.
Yeah, it chills me out. It's like a hawk with a little hood on, you know, where they relax and sit on your arm or whatever, and then you take it off to catch the mouse and stuff like that. That's how it felt. And I liked
really
it.
Funny. Well, yeah, you busted it. You retired the current blindfold.
I know. I tried to take it off and it popped.
I know. It was perfect. Thank goodness it was the very last. Like basically, that thing went off and on 5 times.
Yeah.
Before your last time up there on stage.
Right.
And if it would have busted before then I would have been like, crap, that was one thing I didn't have a plan B for.
And you didn't have a redundancy plan for that? There's no Dropbox for freaking whatever. And isn't that the same? That's the same one we passed down through the years too, right?
Like, it is. Yeah, this is the one that we've always used. So it is time to retire that blindfold and get a new one. And I think I want to actually have... maybe I'll work with Geek Girl with Jessica Hips.
That's a great idea.
And have her create a Nerdtacular blindfold.
Yeah, yeah. She'd be down for that.
Oh, I'll commission that.
We should have had a...
Look at that. There's an organic idea just appeared right here on the show.
An organic idea has appeared. I feel like we should have given it a proper ceremonial burial.
I know. We probably should have had everybody sign it.
Yep.
And giving it away
and then burn it.
No, it's got so many Frog Pants All Stars DNA on it.
Yeah,
you don't even know.
It's got Dill's hangover eye boogers on it. So there's that. So anyway, we're here to do a show, and again, patreon.com/TMS, support us, give us your help, because it makes a giant difference. Horse flies and spiders. You're familiar with these two species, these subspecies, or whatever, these genuses.
Horse flies, anyway, seem to come out a lot in summer.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, this time of year, and we're supposedly not supposed to have many of these around where I live, but nonetheless, I was out jogging in the hot summer day yesterday at about 1 p.m. because I like it hot, man. I like the heat. It was like 90-something degrees. I like the sun just pounding on me while I'm jogging. There's something about it. Big, sweaty, hot jog, right?
Yeah, right.
And I've established this earlier that I really like that for some reason. I used to hate it. Used to hate that, but like it now. I don't know why. Anyway, out there doing my thing, running around the lake again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, I stopped for a second to like check out these birds that were being weird. I thought, well, I'll see if there's a story for TMS here in these weird birds, you know? So I stop, I longingly look at the birds and say, give me material. And then while I'm doing that, I feel this pinch on the back of my calf. I look around, and there's a giant horsefly sitting on my calf having lunch on my leg, eating me. So I swat it away.
Oh my God, and those things bite, and they bite hard.
Yeah, they hurt. So I flicked it away, turned back around. Suddenly, I'm having that biting pain again. I look back down. Same fly is back there on a little new spot right next to it doing it again.
Yeah, they get voracious.
He's a freaking vicious little turd. Mm-hmm. So I kick it off again. I see, now I'm watching, I see it circle around and try to come back to me again. So I flick at it again. I'm like kicking at it in the air. It's still coming at me. Like, it's not done. It wants to keep going. Now, what I don't notice is that there are people there who are now looking at me
as you do this invisible dance, interpretive performance of
like some old 1920 silent film right. with what's that guy's name? Not Buzz.
Charlie Chaplin.
I was going to say Buzz Turkey. Who's the other guy?
Buster Keaton.
Buster Keaton. Buzz Turkey.
Buzz Turkey.
You know, Buzz Turkey.
Oh my God! If you put ton at the end, then you basically had it. Buzz yeah. Turkey ton.
Oh, Buzz Turkey ton. Well, anyway,
it is working in mysterious ways today, Johnson.
So I'm dancing like Buzz Turkington out there. You know, trying to get this fly off of me. And I'm swatting at it and I'm swinging at it and I can't get this thing to go away. I finally just said, well, maybe I should run. It is good to run, as Logan's run would say.
Right.
So I turn around and I ran and that thing kept pelting at me for the next, I don't know, 20, 30 yards.
Oh my God.
It didn't bite me again, but it kept trying to get to the same leg. There's some kind of nutrient on the back of my left calf or something. And it kept banging into it. And I had to make this decision just to put my freaking nose down, jog solid, and just pretend like nothing's going on. After about 30, 40 yards, I turn around, it's gone. It's nowhere to be seen.
Wow. Now, okay. Didn't you... Yeah. There was a thing a while back where you had a... didn't you have a fly, horsefly or something, whacking you on the back of the neck as you were...
It was a bee.
...jogging before? Oh, it was a bee. That's right.
Yeah, I got dive-bombed by a bee. It came down, just smacked me in the back of the head like a pebble. It never stung me. But it hit me in the back of the head. Same kind of deal. Like
those
there's something
are attracted to kefir and kombucha.
I guess
that's the problem is
that's the kefir I do every day now. So there could be some truth to that. They all kefir. Want a piece of the kefir. Just me, my Johnson, and kefir my kefir.
Subway.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm done with this chapter of my life. I'm going to just run around the rest of the lake. I'm going to do my 2.5 miles, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to sweat this off. It's going to be great.
Sure.
Jump ahead to about 5 p.m. last night. Okay. Things are crazy. I'm tired. I did a very busy day. I didn't get a lot of sleep the night before. Plus, I did that run, which totally wears me out. Just feeling kind of blah, right? So I'm like, you know what? I need to lay down just for a minute. And Kim's sure. like, well, I need to run the kids to something. So why don't you just take a quick nap and I'll see you later. We'll have dinner. I said, okay, great. So I go to lay down and I do it outside on this like bench thing we have in the backyard. There's nice. No sun there, some shade. It's just nice. Birds are out. It's just nice. So I'm thinking that'll chill me out. Sounds of nature. Lay down, sleeping. Ah. And then, Brian, I feel another pain on the other leg. I wake up and see some little black thing scurrying away as quickly as it can off of my leg.
Uh-huh.
And I look down. I can't show the camera this. But I have a giant raised spider bite now.
Oh, no.
Yeah. On the other leg.
Oh, I wonder if it was radioactive.
Well, so far, no powers, and I haven't felt weird or, there aren't little hairs growing out of my fingertips yet or any of that.
Right.
But I'm waiting to see what happens. And I'm actually I was a little worried because I'm like, I don't know what kind of spider that was. I don't know if this thing's going to, get huge or something. But
right.
It's like a mosquito bite that just freaking hurts.
Mm.
So, thanks, nature. I take care of one of your birds, and then this is how you repay me?
That's all right. In about 2 weeks, that thing will open up, and a bunch of little tiny baby spiders are going to crawl
out. Oh, my Lord. That sounds awful.
Urban legend for the win.
Yeah. That happens. Doesn't that happen to somebody? Somebody someplace?
Happen. Somebody said they got it was like an old story about this guy who got this plant at Pier 1 or something, and got in his house, and then... You know, you start noticing like little spiders, and then all of a sudden, like a little hole opens up on this plant, and a million little baby spiders come crawling out.
Just come pouring out of that thing. Well, I have seen it before, where I poked an egg sac as a kid.
Yeah,
It popped, not millions, but hundreds of spiders came out of there, little tiny ones. That can happen because that's what they do, right? They grow in a big bag of spiders.
They do, yes, and egg sacs, yes.
I don't like it. I don't like that. That's part.
I don't
of,
like it, sir.
No, I'm not having any of that.
And then they walk around on the back of their mother for a while, and that's a whole nother.
And then they eat her.
Horrible thing.
Sometimes depends on the species, but they'll eat the mom. It's like children, I'm so glad you're fine. That was such a what are you doing?
Billy, quit picking on your sister. What?
some of nature, man. Opposed to. Human behavior, there's some bad stuff going on in nature.
Yeah.
We accept it as their way. It is their way. But, I was explaining to my daughter, she's like, wants to save every bee, wants sure. to save every freaking spider and, you know, this bird, of course, and all this stuff. And I said to her, I said, Carter, you realize to sustain this bird, we had to buy a little, like a little butter, like container looking thing full of live worms. And then we had to feed the worms to this bird. She's like, yeah. And I go, well, who's getting the raw end of this deal? How do you think these worms feel?
Right.
And she got this look on her face like, oh no, the circle of life truly is horrible. You know, like you can't have one without the other. And right. I think I broke her. I think that was it. That was the moment.
Something's got to die so that the bird can live.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
Welcome to the morning heebie-jeebies. The morning heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, it kind of fits.
Yeah.
Not too bad. All right. Well, I think enough of my silly stories. It's time for us to call Daryl.
Listen, I'll never get enough of your silly stories,
well,
Mr. Johnson.
I don't know how they just
it's
keep...
It's you, your silly stories, and your Johnson. Right here.
And they just keep rolling in. I don't have any control over any of this. Here you go. Here's some Daryl time. Oh, looky, looky. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Hey, do you like death rays, space lizards, chemtrails, and mind control? Too bad. Join the Weekly Bleep as we take down conspiracy theories, talk tech, and screw up the news. That's theweeklybleep.com. All one word, theweeklybleep.com, because it just got silly.
I could see a whole podcast called Screw Up the News. I know. It's not bad.
No, it's not a bad idea at all.
It's a great name. Yeah. We'll be making that soon.
But that doesn't happen to be the name of this one that we're promoting.
No, of course not. We have on the line with us... Oh, I screwed that up. That's weird.
No, you didn't.
Daryl Skills. Oh, hi, Daryl Skills. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. Where were you yesterday? What happened there? I forgot.
Oh, we went to like a mini vacation to the coast.
Oh, that's right. You guys took off a little...
little staycation.
Well, because the Nerdtacular time, that meant there was no 4th of July fun for you guys, so you had to reschedule, basically, right?
No, but okay.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. Was it fun? Was it eventful? Anything cool happen? Anything weird happen?
Oh, no, nothing weird.
All right. Well, that's depressing.
I know.
That's good. You don't necessarily want something weird.
No. I do, apparently. And whether I want it or not, I get it.
Yeah.
Daryl, it's time for Stump a Trek Nerd. You're familiar with the segment because you've been on every one since we've started ever doing it back in the wee hours of 2011.
And you weren't on it yesterday, and no one else was.
No, we had Skype problems, couldn't have anyone call in. There was no Stump a Trek Nerd yesterday.
So you have no no shoes to fill. No,
no. You have a big empty
pair. No precedents to set. No bar to...
There's nothing to. There's nothing that happened yesterday that you have to compare yourself to today. You'll be fine. Here's your question. It is about the original series episode, This Side of Paris. Paradise.
The body. I'd like to see the other side of Paris, please.
I think there's a fly having lunch.
So here you go. The Enterprise is headed for the planet Omicron SETI 3, not Omicron Persei 8. They are being sent to catalog the destruction of the colony there. They believe, or as he wrote, belive, the colony was destroyed by what kind of radiation?
Or as he puts, radiation.
Radiation. Yes, thank you for pointing that out. Radiation. Which one is it? Gamma radiation? Calamarian radiation? That seems...
Comes from squid, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
On Calamarian radiation.
C, plasma radiation, or D, Berthold radiation.
Oh, yeah, it was that one.
All right. Well, while you think about it...
Perhaps you'd like to think about that more.
Perhaps you want to spend some more time doing this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Finishing off the DeBrand... Or as I like to say it in English, the brand fine chocolates, connoisseur collection, Trump Tower edition, chocolatey hoo-ha here. And we got two of these left. Or you guys probably have three. I have two. Oh,
we have three. You have two. And you have the one that has a leaf footprint in it.
Yeah, I have that. And I have the one that has like a little poo mark in the corner, like a little
chunk of crustiness.
Yeah, whatever that is. It looks like glue, like something fell off.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be coconut or something. But
no, it's I'll tell you what that is. So you want to start with that
one? Yeah, let's do that one.
Okay. That one is the Mayan gold. It's dark chocolate ganache topped with an edible gold leaf.
Wow. I think I ate the leaf then because it's not in here.
Yeah, I don't have anything on there. I just have a glue blob.
No,
yeah.
That glue blob is the gold leaf.
Oh, it is?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's... All right. Fine.
Well, I'd rather eat that than...
Gold leaves don't grow on trees, man.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
Yeah.
They don't all look like...
I'd rather eat that than an actual gold leaf.
Yeah, nobody wants an actual gold leaf. All right.
Oh, I'm eating it already.
Are you? Wow. Hold on. Wait.
Oh, that's weird.
Ooh. Yeah.
What do you mean it's weird? What's weird?
It's orange, but I don't know.
No, I don't know it's where orange. I stand on this one.
Oh, I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I'm getting a cleaning fluid out of that.
Yeah, it's like what they use to clean those weird showers at Snowbird.
They do it in the open. I don't know what that is. I don't like that. Well, that's the first one I haven't liked.
I know, same here.
Wow, we really saved the best for last here.
That was the Trump ass flavor.
Now,
all right, so this is
now do the one with the actual leaf footprint in
this
it.
This is the Brazil sweetened Brazil nuts, almonds, macadamia nuts, and orange peel.
A Brazilian. Let's try it. Oh.
Much better.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes.
I'm not sure I like the consistency of it. Texture, I guess.
It's almost like it's got orange peel in it.
Yeah, that's
it's
probably
like
why.
It's like a nut stew in there.
I'm not really a pulp guy.
Mm.
That might be why. That one's all right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have left. You guys should eat the passion one and fall in love.
I don't know what happened. I only have two also.
Is that all you have at all?
We have lag.
Do we? Have lag on. I think it's you, though. Hold on a second.
Lag! That could be.
Should be better now. Is it better now?
Lag? No? Yes? I don't know.
I don't know. You sound better now.
I think it's fine.
Okay.
So wait, so you only had those two as well, Daryl?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody else must eat
the
passion one.
Did I miss a day
one.
That, yeah.
I ate the passion one separately, or I didn't, someone did here at the house, so I figured you both had it.
Oh, maybe I ate that because I heard that happened.
Oh, maybe. All right, well then I'm eating mine now anyway.
Put it down, put it in, I mean, knock it down, throw it down.
It's refreshing white chocolate passion fruit ganache.
Oh. I'll have to take your word for
it. Oh, that's refreshing.
What the hell's a ganache?
A thickened liquid.
Oh. Well.
Ooh.
Your favorite.
That's really good.
That one is good. As I recall, I had a little piece of it. It was good. My memory serves. Okay.
I've eaten all three of these. I'm eating half of them, half of each one.
So, Daryl, do we got anybody celebrating birthdays today in the Star Trek universe?
Why we do, that would be Hannah Hatte. She is 26 today. She played Molly O'Brien on TNG and DS9.
She's a little kid then.
She's the little one, yeah.
How old now?
And then she's 26.
Good Lord. All right.
And she was on Kitchen Nightmares, and I don't know what happened with her family's restaurant, but it might have been shut down.
Oh.
No.
Oh, really? Oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah. Was she a little Asian girl in the show? So was it?
Well, she was older by then.
She was a little Asian girl on Deep Space Nine.
Well, that's what I mean.
She was a bigger Asian girl.
Well, that's what I mean. So yeah. was I guess what I'm trying to get to is what kind of restaurant was it? Was it like Asian cuisine? Was it like
yeah, it was a sushi restaurant.
Oh, all right. That's interesting. I would like to. Do you think they talked about it on that show? Like Nightmare for what's her name? Who used to be what's her name on Deep Space Nine? Like that kind of thing.
I don't know. They might have.
All right.
I'll tell you right now. Let's see. Sushi Co.
Okay.
Was what it was.
Sushi Co.
Sushi Co. And Hannah Hatte. Let's see. Just
like
seeing
that
if there's like
Sushi
a
Co.
Link. Yeah.
I know there's a video for it because I started watching it right when you called.
Oh, really? Oh, there it is right there.
Oh, yeah. I see it.
Oh, she's cute. Some great pictures of her from that episode. I'll put them in the chat room.
Oh, yeah, she's lovely.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm having memories now.
Yep.
Oh, that's crazy.
She doesn't look anything like that episode where she fell into the hole and came out of it 18 years older, whatever it was.
Mm. Yeah, she's cute. She's holding a big bowl of pho in this photo.
Yep.
Well, good for her. Star Trek forever. All right. Well, Daryl, back to this thing you apparently already know. These radiations, or one of the radiations, caused the colony to be destroyed in this dumb episode of Star Trek, the original series. Gamma, Calamarian, Plasma, or Berthold.
What was the name of the episode?
It was called This Side of Paradise.
Oh, okay. By the way, while you're thinking about that, one last thing, Daryl, to stall. Big thanks again to Ryan and JK for sending us those DeBrand chocolates.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much. They were lovely, except for that one. The rest of them were great.
And according to VroBaby, you did receive your Geek Gear package on July 10th.
You're saying I did?
Scott, you did, yeah. Daryl did because he already accidentally opened his.
Well, that's I'm the only one,
I think, who hasn't opened it.
Well, crap.
Oh, when are we supposed to do that?
Well, we're supposed to do it live on the show at some point.
Well, I haven't.
I never did.
I don't even know I have mine. I'll have to. Now I gotta go on a hunt and find out what happened because I gotta be here then. The 10th? That was three days ago. Like, crap. Five days ago. 5 days ago. All right.
It would have been delivered on Thursday. Thursday.
Thursday?
Thursday. Okay. The day that you didn't have anything else going on.
Didn't I have anything going
on? No other events, no other exciting things happening in your life.
Oh, right. Yeah. That could have been lost in the shuffle of the whole.
Exactly.
You're a future grandpa. Get used to it day. All right. Well, nonetheless and notwithstanding, Daryl is going to answer this damned question.
Yes. Answer the question.
Gamma.
Okay.
Which is Hulk. Calamarian, which is, it's a trap.
Sushi.
Plasma, which is plasma. And Berthold, which makes no sense. Which one do you think?
Which is a wrestling hold on Sesame Street.
Is it really? Oh, a Berthold. Yeah. Hey, Bert. Got you with your own wrestling move. Anyway.
I'm trying to read the book.
He was always trying to read.
Yeah.
Bert was always trying to read, and Ernie was always being such a jerk. Just leave me alone over here, man. He'd always come up with like, but Bert, I got these cookies. And Bert's like, I'm trying to read my book, Ernie. He was the best. What an awesome couple they were. Anyway, they slept in one bed at one time. I remember that. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, this is the one where there were spores and Spock was happy. And there were Berthold rays.
Is
Berthold?
Is it not pronounced Berthold?
It's Berthold, but I like Berthold better.
Okay, fine. We're gonna ask the judges now if it's the damn Berthold thing. And hold on. Oh, whoops, Shatner. Okay, here we go. Is it? Okay.
Congratulations!
Great.
You're a winner.
Great. Okay. They believe the planet and the colony were exposed to these rays. When they arrive, they find the colony is still there, and the inhabitants are still alive. Spock breathes in some spores, making him emotional. Kirk tries to anger Spock, so he destroys the spores that are affecting him. That makes perfect sense. Here's a clip.
Your father was a computer, like his son. An ambassador from a planet of traitors. The Vulcan never lived who had an ounce of integrity.
Captain, please don't.
You're a traitor from a race of traitors. Disloyal to the core. Rotten, like the rest of your subhuman race. And you've got the gall to make love to that girl.
Whoa. That's enough.
Does she know what she's getting, Spock? A carcass full of memory banks who should be squatting on a mushroom.
What?
Instead of passing himself off as a man, he belonged in a circus, Spock. Not a starship. Right next to the dog-faced boy.
Wow. Wait, what's the dog-faced boy? Is that a circus freak?
Yeah.
I don't think... I've always heard of bearded woman, two-headed man.
Yeah, there was a dog-faced boy as well.
Okay. That stereotype eluded me. Wow, that was some sweet acting. I feel like Kirk... just because Spock's a little emotional, I feel like he should be able to see through that and know what his friend's doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how obvious is it? Suddenly Kirk's saying terrible things about your heritage, and you're just going to fall for it?
Well, that's why he was saying, don't do it. Don't make me all mad and go Hulk on you.
Yeah, that's stupid. There you go. There's your episode. There's your answer. And you got it right. Nicely done. Daryl's the Trek Nerd. Find him on Twitter. Also, thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, what is your game you're going to play with us today? I have a new theme for it when you do it.
Okay. Well, I am completely not ready, so I'm dipping into whatever's here.
Okay.
Star Trek nut or actual nut?
All right, Star Trek nut or actual nut with this theme. There you go.
Wow.
Right?
Mm. I was wondering where that was going.
That's pretty good. All right, Daryl, lay it on
I like this other one, but can I change my
question? Yeah, of course you can.
Oh, sure.
Okay, Klingon food. Oh, wait. No, that's all it is a Klingon food. There's no or anything. So
is this a Klingon food?
True or false?
Ah, never mind. I'm going back to the original.
All right. Wood or nut? No, what is it?
Yes.
What is it?
Nut. Star Trek nut or actual nut.
Or actual nut, okay.
Wood or nut?
Bopple nut.
Bopple nut?
Bopple nut.
Bopple nut.
Can you spell?
Yeah.
Just how it sounds. There's nothing weird about it.
B-O-P-P-L-E?
Mm-hmm.
Bopple nut.
all right, bopple nut.
Bopple nut.
I feel like that's real wood because that's not a Star Trek wood.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I'm with you.
Well, it's not wood.
Or sorry, nut. Sorry, it's not. I keep saying wood.
Wait, that's, Star Trek nut or wood?
No, it's Star Trek nut or real nut.
Star Trek nut or real nut? Okay,
we're gonna say real nut, right?
Yeah, yeah, real nut.
All right, real nut.
Oh, it's a real nut. Yep.
Okay. Sheesh. Good Lord. That was a path to go down, was it not?
You, your nuts and your Johnson.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Let's listen to that commercial again. Oh, no, let's not. Let's not do that. Where the hell? What do we got?
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
It's brought to you by Geek Gear. Time to gear up. If you're looking for chest gear, bags of holding for your gear, or maybe even leg gear or a bag to hold all your critical hits, you're looking for Geek Gear. Bringing you purses, messenger bags, shirts, shorts, dice bags, and baby wear, Geek Gear has you covered. This week, we're running a special on custom-designed dice bags. We also have a contest. We need a name for the dice bags. Winner gets a custom dice bag free. Get the post or see the post on the Tadpool Facebook page. You can also go to geek_gear.storeenvy.com. That's storeenvy.com. Contest ends Thursday at noon. Winner to be announced on TMS PM.
PM.
Dice bag.
Dice bags. All right. We got some news for you, Brian.
Sure.
Two men. All right. Two men.
Two men.
Two men. What's their one power?
able to lift heavier things than one man.
Poor one man. He should really join up with another man. Two men suspected of smoking heroin in Chuck E. Cheese in a bathroom. Yeah. That's come to this. Wonder what Nolan Bushnell's saying now. Two men face drug possession charges after allegedly smoking heroin in a bathroom in a Chuck E. Cheese restaurant in Costa Mesa, California. Oh, not Florida. That's nice. Colin Zabrowski.
Ooh, well done.
Age 28. Well, I, the hockey names I can do. I'm all
no
right with those.
No Squirini whatsoever.
No, they're all right there. And Daniel Luback, or would you say Lubach?
Either one of those, I think, yeah.
Starbuck. Anyway.
When it's a heroin smoker, it's a long A.
A long A. Got it.
Lubach, yeah.
And a dumb A. Is what
dumb A.
He's 27, so you're 28 and you're 27-year-old adults here. Arrested Tuesday after police saw them together inside a stall in the men's room of a Chuck E. Cheese. A customer reported to police that the suspects were getting high in the family-friendly pizzeria restroom, according to the Los Angeles Times. Both males were observed in the process of smoking heroin, says Lieutenant Greg Scott. He told CBS this in L.A. The men went to Chuck E. Cheese to meet with a drug supplier. Costa Mesa Police Sergeant Patrick Wessel told NBC Los Angeles police did not know whether the suspects had tried to sell drugs to other people at the pizza restaurant and children's playground. Both Zabrowski and Lubach were under the influence, according to arresting officers who confiscated drug paraphernalia, a small amount of heroin, and then let them throw up all the horrible pizza they'd consumed. I added that last part in there.
And don't snort anything you find in the bottom of the ball pit.
No. And by the way, is there a more wretched place of scum and villainy?
A wretched hive of scum and villainy
than the salad bar at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, wow.
I cannot imagine ever doing that ever again in my life. I will never eat. You know what? I don't think I'll ever do another salad bar as long as I live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I need mine. I need salads, no problem. Prepare them all on up. But the horror stories I read about with people testing public salad bars, even the best of them.
Yeah.
It's horrifying.
Know that.
Horrifying what they found.
I don't want to know that. Come on. Ruby Tuesdays, man. They got great, like one of the best salad bars ever.
Yeah. Even tell that to the snot-nosed kid that put his hand up in the lettuce and lifted it around a little bit before you got there. Tell him that.
All right.
See?
Thanks.
See?
Thanks.
See? I've ruined every innocent thing you loved. I've ruined it.
Yes.
Dad.
Spiders in your leg, Johnson. Spiders in your leg.
I know. I have to check right now, make sure nothing's happening. They're all out to get me. Let's see. Dad, here's some more heroin news. Heroin news this week.
Okay.
Today. Dad hides heroin in baby's diaper.
Oh.
Michael Penn.
Oh.
Not related to the pens.
What if I was Romeo in black jeans? What if I was Heathcliff? It's no man.
I hate that song.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, it's such a great song.
No. No, it's not
Michael
good.
Penn.
Eh.
Brother of Sean.
Is he? And what's the other Penn that died? Chris Penn.
Christopher Penn. Yeah, Chris Penn.
He was the. He had a heart.
He's married to Amy Mann.
Chris Penn. Oh,
Michael,
no.
Michael Penn.
Michael Penn. All right. Well, look at the Penns, man.
Yeah.
Penns are doing all right.
Doing all right.
Marrying, well, except Chris, I guess.
Indie legends like Amy Mann
and Madonna.
Right. Yeah.
Indie legend,
so.
I guess, but.
Right.
He is accused, age 25, accused of trying to hide heroin in his baby's diaper while cops arrested him on charges of shoplifting. This happened in Philly. He's a Delaware man. Delaware man! What's his power?
Shit.
The most boring hero on the...
Nothing. I got nothing for Delaware. What happens in Delaware?
I don't even know. What's a good Delaware story?
Able to keep himself occupied while nothing goes on around him. That's Delaware man. Excelsior.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I like that you put, that's Delaware man at the end.
I know, like it's an infomercial.
Yeah. Like you just took...
Started my name, just, Excelsior.
Just got on the stage there. He is being accused of trying to hide heroin in his baby's diaper. He was confronted by police in Newcastle on Tuesday over an incident in June when he allegedly stole items from a Verizon store. Well, that's weird.
Oh.
Like a charger and like a case or something? Or
right, like because you're not getting pretty much the display units are you're not going to be able to do much with those.
No, those are locked down with those like space age like prison cord things.
Right. a big chunk of plastic. Held together with some rebar. And
those are the ones. Penn was carrying his 8-month-old son and 5-year-old daughter at the time. After officers asked Penn to put the kids down. Please put the children down. You have 10 minutes to comply. They say they spotted him sliding something into the boy's diaper, according to the Delaware Online. Turned out to be a big old bag of heroin. So good move there, buddy. Why are you in the Verizon store with your heroin anyway? What are you doing?
Yeah, right. Mm. Let's see. He's got his little checklist. All right, need a new charger.
Yep.
And need to find a good place to hide my heroin.
I know. Baby diaper. Well, what he should have done is saved his...
Need to go to Barnes & Noble, too.
I haven't been in a Barnes & Noble in a while. I like it in there.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I like books.
I like just browsing around. Speaking of books, I'm loving... Old Man's War.
Oh.
Recommended, man. John Scalzi's the author. It's great. It's a series. I haven't read the other two, but I'm just starting it. It came out in 2005. I'm a little behind on things, but Hugo award-winning No Man's War. And if you like sci-fi, it's pretty awesome so far. I'm totally digging it. I'm not super far in, but I think I'm probably part 2, chapter 6, something like that.
Right.
Anyway, it's very good.
Old Man's War.
Yeah,
okay.
Very, very good. I haven't done the audio version. I'm using the, I'm reading it. So,
okay.
My eyes are doing the reading, not my ears.
My eyes
to see you with. HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh.com. Hello. HelloFresh.com making cooking fun again. Let's see what they got on the old recipe list this week. Hold on here. View boxes. View box. Here we go. Looking at the this week's. Oh, it's not showing me. That's wonderful. Here we go. This week. Here we go. Ah, yeah. Look at that coming up. Here we go. We got smoky chicken skewers. Chicken breast, paprika, garlic, red onion, corn, cilantro, potatoes, sour cream, lime, and skewers. Well, it comes with the skewers.
Skewers.
Beef chili stuffed zucchini. Wow. Lemony shrimp panzanella. She was my favorite original SNL cast member. She was really Lemony Shrimp Panzanella, I remember her.
Lemony Shrimp Panzanella, yeah.
Pork.
She was adorable, too.
Pork, quinoa, shafa, I guess, that's how you'd say it. Pork chops, garlic, ginger, snow peas. And then penne a la Norma, which includes Norma. Anyway, that all looks really good. Real meals made by real chefs, and they send the farm fresh ingredients to you to your door. You put it together. You make amazing meals in 30 minutes or less. Use the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout for 50% off for first-time customers. That's HelloFresh.com. Go check them out today.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
Our cat Beals, Beelzebub, was diagnosed with fatty liver disease. We're giving him the best care possible, and he's making a slow but steady recovery. But the bill is upwards of $1,800. We're accepting donations at GoFundMe.com/helpbeals. That's B-E or help, H-E-L-P, B-E-E-L-Z. All donations past his medical bills will be donated to Frankie's Friends. They help families that can't afford medical care for their animals. We're also going to match up to $300 past the $1,800 to donate to Frankie's Friends. I'm trying to turn this unfortunate struggle for Beals into something positive that can help other families in need. That's GoFundMe.com/helpbeals, B-E-E-L-Z.
Sounds like a good deal.
It is. That's really cool. The way they're doing that with the over getting donated. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Tracy Morgan. You know her.
Yeah.
Him. Liz Lemon. That's the terrible Tracy Morgan impression I just did. It didn't sound anything like him. What was I doing there? Anyway, Tracy Morgan has...
Liz Lemon.
There you go. Better. Yeah. Tracy Morgan has sued Walmart over a deadly crash and has been released from rehab, by the way.
Glad he's doing better.
I agree. He sued Walmart over the last month's highway crash that seriously injured him and killed a fellow comedian. The lawsuit filed Thursday in U.S. District Court in New Jersey in these United States claims Walmart was negligent when a driver of one of its tractor trailers rammed into Morgan's limousine van. The complaint claims the retail giant should have known the driver had been awake for up to 24 hours and that his commute, excuse me, of 700 miles from his home in Georgia to work in Delaware. Oh, there's a Delaware thing for you. Was unreasonable. It also alleges the driver fell asleep at the wheel as a result of Walmart's gross, reckless, willful, wanton, and intentional conduct. It should be appropriately punished with the imposition of punitive damages, according to the complaint. The June 7th wreck on the New Jersey Turnpike killed 62-year-old comedian James McNair, who went by the name Jimmy Mack. Comedian Ardley Fuqua and Jeffrey and Krista Malia, who were also injured passengers in the limo. They're also named as plaintiffs. It didn't go into too much on how Tracy Morgan's recovery is going, but I guess if he's out of rehab, he's all right.
If he's out, yeah, exactly. But they don't all, what they don't talk about is how the other guys...
how they fared, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Ardley Fuqua and Jeffrey and Krista Malia.
I wonder if Ardley Fuqua is related to Antoine Fuqua, the director. That would be interesting. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a strange, not a strange name, but a name.
It's not a common name, so yeah, exactly.
I'm a big fan of Antoine Fuqua's. Go see The Replacement Killers, everybody. Good movie. Yeah, that sucks. That whole thing sucks. And I think that if he was driving for 24 hours or they have policies in place that kind of encourage this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, Walmart, having dealt with Walmart on some other levels for some stuff with some clients, I can tell you that is a cutthroat freaking company who is interested in bottom line all the time.
Really?
And not interested in anything else. It's all about, how low can we get the price and then how quick can we get in the store? And,
they don't care who they have to step on to get those prices
kinda,
so low.
Yeah. I feel like there's a sort of a moral ambiguity in terms of the process. So I can only speak from that very limited perspective, but
sure.
It wouldn't surprise me if
we're not going to get them as a sponsor.
We already know that.
We're already fully aware of that, people.
They don't even know what a podcast is. It's my guess. Tommy Ramone, the original member or last original member of the pioneering punk band, the Ramones, has died at age 62.
Aww.
This is sad. There are no Ramones left. That's it.
No.
Punk rock fuel injected the beat of rock and roll in the mid-70s with a frenetic tempo. That's what these guys did. On Friday, the drummer who gunned out those rhythms with pioneering punk bands, the Ramones, has passed away. Tommy Ramone, 65, and the last living original member of the band, which debuted its first album in 1976. Ramone was one of the band's composers as well. Notice of his death was posted on the band's Facebook page with his age. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame reported that he was 62, but he was really 65. Ramone was reportedly battling cancer when he died. Didn't the other brother die of cancer as well?
Joey had cancer, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know about Dee Dee or Johnny.
With the race pulse beating beat and disparaging cynical lyrics that were combined with oddly florid but loud guitar riffs, this guy's too showy on CNN with his words.
Yeah.
It's bugging me. The Ramones kicked off a music and counterculture movement in New York that quickly spread to Britain. So are they considered like the ground zero for punk?
It was certainly one of the first, or one of the most popular first punk bands. Mm. Maybe not the first, but certainly, yeah.
I mean, the New York Dolls were kind of that, but they were also kind of early metal too, weren't they?
Well, they were glam
rock.
Punk, glam rock. I mean, everything kind of, there's these different shades of things. Like, you can't really say the first rock and roll band because there were elements of rock and roll in blues and jazz and stuff like that. So,
don't you like how, what always kind of pissed me off? This is just from a racial perspective.
Sure,
but in Back to the Future, they imply it's bad enough that Elvis is credited with inventing rock and roll, even though many, many black musicians before him were doing exactly or better than what he was doing. It was bad enough that was already a thing. But then to have that movie fictitiously credit Marty McFly with inspiring what's his name?
Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry.
Right.
So that it wasn't even his idea.
Right.
It's kind of a shitty thing to do.
It kind of is, yeah.
Always bugged me. Even as a kid, it kind of didn't sit right. Anyway.
So expect a tribute to Tommy and the rest of the Ramones on this week's Cover Bill.
Oh, great.
Tomorrow night.
All right. Yeah, that'll be good.
Judy's a punk rocker. Mm. I want to be sedated.
Yeah.
Pet Cemetery.
Yeah. All good.
Blitzkrieg Bop, of course. KKK Took My Baby Away.
See? Look at these songs just pouring out of you.
So many great tunes.
Yeah, really good. Anyway, fair travels there, Tommy Ramone. There are people left who are Ramones, though, right? Like, they have other bandmates who have survived all this that weren't founders.
CJ Ramone and Elvis Ramone. But they weren't the original. The original, I want to say the original five?
Was it five?
Joey, Johnny, Dee Dee. Tommy.
That's three. Wait, four.
That's four. I think it's just four then. Joey, Johnny, Dee Dee, and Tommy, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Rico, the roadie. Rico the roadie.
Right. Marky was the drummer, but he joined later.
Oh well, there you have it.
Marky Mark Ramone.
All right. So I'm thinking to myself, I like the Ramones. I want to do a fan page in memory of Tommy and the rest of the band. Why not do something
over
it? Well, I could use Squarespace.com for that, Brian, because they're great at this. Squarespace.com is making it easy for you to have the web tools you need to make a great website, portfolio, blog, online store. All the tools are there. It's all very simple and easy to use. And that stuff's improving all the time. My favorite bit is how quickly things update for in the way of templates and tools. So you can create a good, responsive kind of design and service for those who are reading your stuff via phones or tablets or whatever. It's great. And everything you need, it's all right there. And a free trial without any kind of credit card needed. Give it a shot. And if you like it, use the code MORNING at checkout. That's 10% off your account. That's amazing. Morning for 10% off. That's MORNING. Simple as that. Do it today at squarespace.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have Chinbeard. We'll have Justin Robert Young. And we'll have more. But before we have any of that, we have music.
We have music. And this one goes out to Jules, who's the co-host of the Torin Think Tank podcast.
Yeah, we love Jules.
Jules Scott. Yeah. Writes in and says, Dear Super Smash and brother, I turned the ripe old age of 40 years old on Saturday, July 12th, this last weekend, and I'm still not sure how I feel about changing into the next age bracket on surveys yet.
Wow.
To help me transition into this new decade that will hopefully live in infamy, could you please play a cover of Phil Collins' I Wish It Would Rain Down? If not, any cover of or by Phil Collins will be great. He's been my favorite artist since I was a kid listening to his cassette tapes during car rides. Thank you for all the great shows. I'm writing this before Nerdtacular, but I'm sure we had many laughs and moments of happy fun times.
Yeah.
Go with the flow, yo, Jewel Scott.
Yes, we like her a lot. She's awesome. Yes,
she is.
One of my faves.
And yeah, I don't have a cover of I Wish It Would Rain Down.
Oh.
as is sometimes the case. Well, you know, that sometimes there are covers of a song. Sometimes there are good covers of a song. But if there's no covers or if they're bad covers, I just won't play it. Right. Sorry. That's just the way it is. However, In the Air Tonight, widely covered song by Phil Collins. Mm. And speaking of your urban legends, talk about one that goes along with that. No, it never happened, people. Mm. He never witnessed a murder and then brought the guy who did it to his concert and shone a spotlight on him while he sang the song the first time. Never happened.
Yeah, that's a cool story. I always liked it, but it never sat right. It didn't seem right. Yeah.
Taka Taka, the band Taka Taka, did a great cover on the second volume of the Guilt by Association CD back in 2008. This one has a nice, slow, dark build to it. Actually, I think it's even darker than the Phil Collins original. So enjoy this. It's Taka Taka and In the Air Tonight.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. when Deanne had her 8th birthday party at Farrell's, even the Beasley brothers had fun. When Jake the Snake had his birthday at Farrell's, the whole group wanted to come. In fact, there's only one place so crazy, so totally wacko, that everybody has a party. Farrell's. Because whether you're 6 or 14 or right in between, you always have a party at Farrell's.
Your weapons are distasteful to me.
The Morning Stream is battle-tested bayonets, bro.
Oh, and we're back.
Farrell's?
Farrell's. I had a Farrell's, too. I went all the time when I was a kid.
They had that that trough that if you finished all the ice cream in the trough, then it was free and you got your name on the wall or something.
Yeah, causing lactose intolerance since 1974.
Huge weight gain.
That place to me is synonymous with when the kids in my family would have a bad habit or a problem they were trying to overcome. That's where my dad would take them if they did it. So if my sister quit wetting the bed, not Wendy, different sister. He would take her to Farrell's. If I got better grades, he'd take me to Farrell's. Like that was the big carrot for all the kids all the time growing up. I always remember that. There was one in the mall, and I always remember the corner of the mall that it was in because now it's a Lens Crafters, and it pisses me off when I go by there.
Oh, I know.
Lens Crafters. In about an hour, we'll make you a $9,000 pair of glasses. I don't think they're going to sponsor. I'm not in any kind of fear of them not sponsoring, so I think we're fine.
That's two people we only get as sponsors now.
No, and... just knocking them out one at a time.
Okay.
Yep. All right, it's time for Chinbeard.
Okay.
We're a little early, but not much. 2 minutes. That's okay, because it's jury day. We may as well be early, right?
Yeah.
Bill Duran. There he is. Okay, let's get him on here. Let's talk a little shop with the man who knows what it takes to run a shop, if you know what I'm saying.
Is that euphemism or something?
Yeah, it might be. Could be. Here's his theme right here.
I can't achieve penetration further back than 1910.
There you go.
My goodness.
Bill Duran, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Holy cow.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, the trouble with that maneuver is you need a time machine.
You go back to 1930.
That's what I've heard. Bill Duran is, of course, the fitness geek, comes on Tuesdays, talks about health and being a nerd and how we can do both at the same time, and among other things. Did you happen to hear Wendy's segment last Thursday by chance? I know you're a busy dude, and I don't know if you heard it.
Funny you should mention that.
Oh, we're going to have a little follow-up. All right, because we were talking on that episode about people with weight issues and things feeling very... put upon by the world, making statements like just get off your butt and run or quit eating that thing or whatever, just to give people some context for this.
Bill with a rebuttal.
Here's our Republican time now with Bill, who will now say what he's going to say. So what are you going to say? What do you think?
Well, everyone, the trick with being overweight or overeating specifically is that it's not just one thing. Usually it's a combination of factors that get you to that place.
Right.
You might be lonely or bored. You may have anxiety or stress that you're dealing with, or depression, or it could just be a habit. In fact, usually it becomes a habit, and that's another factor that keeps you, just jamming food in your gullet.
Yeah.
And I get it too. It's not easy cracking down on those things to fix your eating habits. It took me 7 years to finally do that.
Sure.
I was on that roller coaster, where like you lose a little, gain a little, lose a little, gain a little, and you can't, and sticking with it is so hard, because a lot of times people, when they're trying to change their eating habits, they aren't really dealing with the core problem, which is if it's anxiety or stress that's causing them to overeat, they're not dealing with that. They're
right.
Just trying to change the eating habit.
And sometimes it's just time needs to happen. So I can I can say from experience that from about 2003 until 2013, that's a long time. It's 10 years. I was that whole up and down thing, and I'd lose a little and feel too good about myself and then eat like an idiot, and then just kind of back and forth and back and forth. And I remember at my highest weight, which was 252, I think, or something, going, man, what is it? When, what is my point where I just have to have the whatever the willpower is or whatever that thing is inside me? Not from external sources, not from other people telling me to or any of that, but what is my own clock going to ring on? When is the alarm going to come off and say, do this?
Yeah.
And I think it's a combination of things for me. I think it, what exactly. it was last year in 2013, right around my birthday, which is right after Nerdtacular, I went, oh my gosh, I am the big 4-4 this year. When else am I going to do this? Like something snapped in me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's what it took for me. Now for other people, many other factors might have to be in place, like a new relationship, a better job, or being fired and having a kind of hitting rock bottom changes you. Or sometimes hitting the very peak of things changes you, because then you realize, oh no, to maintain this, I need to get in shape, or whatever. Whatever your factors are, something for everybody, I think, at some point kind of kicks in.
Sometimes you're just in an event where people keep commenting on your partner's yeah. weight loss, and that's enough to kind of drive you into saying, okay, time to make
well,
a change.
For the record, right. for the record, I didn't necessarily love all of that attention that I was getting for that, because I was starting to feel like a freak. But sure. but yeah, whatever your thing is,
so skinny.
Whatever your thing is, I do feel like the switch has to happen internally. It's not going to mm-hmm. come from somebody telling me what to do.
Now, if you do have something like extreme, anxiety or stress or depression, that's the sort of thing where you do have to go get help from someone.
Yeah.
Where you may have to go talk to a therapist, you know, go call up Wendy or whatever it is to get that portion of your life in order before you can, you know, really start to tackle the overeating thing.
Yeah, because the overeating thing is in those cases is symptomatic of perhaps mm-hmm. something larger.
Yeah.
And she, I think, you know, a lot of what we said Thursday holds bears that out. And she's moving to Sweden, so if you can find her, sure, go ahead and give her a
yeah.
call. But the point is, there is help for that sort of thing. And it's interesting because, you know, when I was growing up, I thought that because I was kind of a stressy kid, that was what was keeping me skinny. But I was wrong.
Right.
What was keeping me skinny was this amazing metabolism that I had.
Yeah.
What turns out to be true is I kind of stress ate even then. I just didn't know because it wasn't really mm-hmm. having an impact. And as you get to be an adult, when you stress eat, then you start to see things change and happen, and the pounds start, you know, adding up. And then before you know it, you're 50 or 60 pounds over where you should be. And you're like, holy mm-hmm. crap, I am a 5-year-old kid's worth of extra weight here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to drop that off and not have that kid hanging on me anymore.
But again,
it's all internal for me. I knew what I wanted or should do. And I knew when people would say, like Kim would say, oh, I'm a little worried, honey, you shouldn't be, you know, blah, blah, whatever. None of that mattered ultimately until I finally found whatever it was to click in my head to say, you need to change it and you got to do it now.
For me, I never really stress ate or had anxiety. Well, I didn't have anxiety until I started my own business.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, for me, it was boredom and habit. Is really what it came down to. I was used to eating a lot because growing up, I was an athlete and I ate like 5,000 calories a day, like a crazy person, and I was super, super thin.
Yeah.
But also, if I, you know, I had a desk job, I was sitting in front of a computer, and when I got bored, I just started cramming food in my face.
Yeah.
And it was for me. Eventually, something clicked in my brain that was like, "No, you this. Have you seen yourself in the mirror lately? It's time to change. Time to make a change." And it wasn't the people in my life telling, because people were trying to be helpful and telling me that, hey, Bill, have you seen yourself in the mirror lately? It's time to make a change.
Yeah.
It was something that I had to figure out.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, too, it's something I fight every single day. Every day I want to put everything I see in my mouth and eat it. Well, food. Not my keys. I'm in no habit of chewing on my keys right here.
Not your Xbox 360 controller that's sitting over there. Yeah.
No, that would really fill me up.
Wouldn't it though? Yeah.
Especially the original one.
Yeah. We'd miss you on the show if you ate that. We wouldn't see you.
But
again.
But every single day the urge to eat all the food does not go away. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with that every day. The thing about when you're overweight and you get judged by other people, if people mention stuff or you can feel their eyes, what I've found is it's not necessarily just that people are judging your appearance. It's that it's deeper. People notice or wonder what it is in your life that's triggering that type of behavior. Mm-hmm. And I found myself doing this too. I specifically recently saw someone who was, no doubt about it, morbidly obese. Mm-hmm. Someone who's like not long for this world, and it's sad. Mm-hmm. And I get sad about that. But when I the first thought is, what's going on in that person's life that they deal with it by eating that much food? It's crazy.
Mm. Yeah, and it's easy to make. I mean, and some would say, well, there you are judging people. I don't. It's a different kind of thing, though. It's like like I was saying to Wendy, and I still stand by this, even though I have really no proof that this is true. But I feel like we are pattern recognition creatures, and we see something that's different than it should be, or what we quote unquote think is the norm. Our natural reaction is to go, oh, what the heck? Oh, that's weird. Somebody shows up with half a face.
Mm-hmm.
You're lying if you're not noticing that there's only half a face there. Now you can do things to say, all right, well, back up, Scott. There's probably a terrible accident, or what's the difference? It's still a human being in there, and you know, you work on your natural tendencies toward that kind of judgment or whatever. But there's still this kind of built-in human thing where if we see something that's off, for whatever it may be, this dysmorphic thing, then we start to, you know, our brains go, all right, well, what's this about? What's going on here?
If you the major difference, though, is if you see something like that and you have a snap judgment in your brain, whether or not you open your mouth about it makes all the difference in the world.
Sure.
Because that person knows they only have half a face, and they don't need you reminding them.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, there's no big revelation.
No.
You're going, hey, you got half a face.
Yeah.
Well, you know what you need.
You need a whole face.
I could make you a new face.
Yeah, exactly. What did I just see that was they're making new faces? Oh, no, it's this book I'm reading. Sorry. Old Man's War is just eating up my brain, and that's all I can think about right now. You should read that book, dude. It's good. Right. It's really good. Anyway, go ahead.
The other thing that was brought up was they were talking about food addiction. Mm. And I don't know if I could say whether or not I was or am addicted to food. It's tough because you also have to eat food. It's like saying, like they use the example of smoking, right? People get addicted to smoking. The major difference is that you don't need nicotine at all in your life. I've never smoked, so I clearly don't need it.
Yeah, you can be addicted to heroin, but your body doesn't need heroin to survive. But food, you have to have food.
Yes, you have to have some food.
Right.
So addicted to overeating. But the thing is, if you do have that kind of addiction and it's diagnosed, let's say, it can be a double-edged sword. Because knowing that you have that kind of problem is the first step towards getting the help that you need. Because if it is a real addiction, then you need help to get over it. It's going to be very, very hard to get over it yourself. On the other hand, some people might say, well, I can't help myself, and use that to justify their habits. So it can be a double-edged sword, and I think people should just be aware of that.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, good. Well, see, we've solved all the problems today.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's better.
There you go.
We're all good.
All the problems.
Yeah, that's right.
If you do have a problem like that, though, just be aware that if you do need help, there's nothing wrong with that. And you might need help, need a hand getting over it, and you might need a hand getting over the underlying factors that are causing the overeating.
Yeah, we should make it clear that I don't think on this show, any of the three of us or anybody on the show ever intends to... none of this stuff where we're like encouraging healthy stuff or exercise or whatever, it's none of it is with any sort of judgment in it. It doesn't, and it may feel that way. Like, nobody likes a guy who goes, I just lost 60 pounds, suckers, check me out. Woo! Yeah. Nobody likes that guy. I don't think we're doing that. I hope we're not doing that.
Yeah, I hope we're not doing that. Yeah.
So if some are concerned that we are, we promise we're not. I guess you'll just take my word for it.
Oh.
Go ahead.
My thing is that the change I made in my life to start to be healthier has led to me both feeling healthier, feeling great, really enjoying myself, but also it's helped me sort of grab the reins in the rest of my life. You know, it's those habits have spilled over into other portions of my life, and I think it's amazing and wonderful. And my goal with this segment is always to encourage people to have that same sort of experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the whole point of this. It isn't a shame segment at all.
No.
We have plenty of shameful segments. We don't need any more.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you worry.
I mean, jury's going to be on next.
Yeah, I mean, let's see what we can shame.
Right.
Well, this is all good stuff, as always. I always enjoy hanging out with Bill.
By the way, Bill, before we get into his final thoughts here, I got to say, I received my prop space gun in the mail right after we got back from Retacular. I cannot wait to start messing around with this thing, painting it and sanding it and texturizing and
take it out in public,
scratch stuff.
Paint it black, point it at people at night while cops are around. Don't do any of that.
No,
I'm not going to do that.
Exciting. Yeah, oh, the space guns for my Kickstarter are getting out the door. It's taking a long time, but they're going. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
Excited to see what Brian does with his.
Nothing quite like Kickstarter fulfillment, right?
I have so many ideas for this thing, and I'm not sure. Like, I'm thinking maybe an Iron Man themed, making it look like the same colors of Iron Man, or Sentinels, like the old Marvel, doing the blue and the purple.
I like that.
Keep the pink out, though. No pink.
Like a Sentinel Hunter gun or something like that. Yeah, so definitely can have some fun with it.
Nice.
Cool.
I can't wait to see what you do with it. Yeah. You should take pictures and share them on the internet.
Oh, hell yes. Probably all during the whole process.
That'd be wonderful. Bill, anything else in your world you want to mention before we cut you off?
One last thing. So Dragon Con's coming up rapidly.
Quicker than you think.
It's going to be crazy town. Yeah. I'm doing this project with my brother. We're calling it the Claptrap Army Dragon Con 2014. So Claptrap, the little robot dude from Borderlands. Yeah. He built a puppet, like a full-size puppet one. And so I built one, and I put up a video on my YouTube channel at Punished Props. But if you go to Facebook and look up Claptrap Army Dragon Con 2014, you'll find a group we have there. We're trying to get a whole army of little Claptrap robots at Dragon Con. I want dozens of them just running around and harassing people and having a really good time. So that's my huge project coming up towards Dragon Con that I want everyone else to go. I have a video that shows how I built mine so people can build theirs as quickly and as cheaply as possible.
Wow. Can you imagine the chaos of that many claptraps in one place? I guess that's what you're aiming for.
That's the goal.
Well, yeah. September's crazy, man. They got that. I got a wedding that month. Oh, I don't know if I've told everybody, but they're wasting no time. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting right on it.
Brian, that's going to be adorable.
Oh, yeah. Well, he finally gave me the ring. And
finally, yes.
You know, I had to get him off his...
All the emails now can be answered.
Turns out we are gay. We just didn't know it. There you go, everybody. It's Bill Duran, Chinbeard on Twitter, Punished Props on YouTube and punishedprops.com, and a million other things going on. Bill, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Bye, guys.
See you later. There's no shame in Bill shaming. Shame some Bill. All right.
Right.
Should we call Justin?
Yes.
Just launch right into it?
By all means, certainly.
All right.
Sweetly.
Talking to Veronica this week about video game segment.
Yeah.
That's for real happening. So finally got a little V on TMS. It's her idea even, which is exciting.
She knows what time we do this.
Oh, right? Yeah. We're considering the PM slot. So,
Okay.
Which might work nicely. I don't know. It's all still very up in the air, but we shall figure out.
I know in the past that when this subject has come up of having V on TMS, it's been met with, wait, what time do you guys do that?
Yep, every time, right?
An hour earlier?
Every time.
PM is a good way to do it.
PM might work.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Oh, hello, Justin Robert Young. What's going on, man?
Good morning, chaps.
Chaps. I like it.
Look at you. Where are you? You're in the studio, it looks like.
Yeah.
And there we go. Okay, there's the beard. I was like, holy cow, is the beard gone? But no.
The beard is trim, though.
It is,
I went to a hipster barber. at a hipster barber shop when there were multiple prices for beard trimmings.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Like, do they stick a ruler in there and then, they measuring, measuring snowfall kind of thing?
Getting so many people saying, please trim my beard that they have to come up with a different price structure for it. And they have a combination beard trim and head shave price.
Wow.
That it is so frequent that people are asking, please shave my head and trim my beard. That they had to put a combo to keep, I guess, ahead of the competition.
Well, let's have a little economic check here. What does one pay for a beard head combo today in 2014?
Each beard head combo was $15 or $20.
No. Well, that's not too bad. No.
Yeah.
Got my haircut and beard trimming was $28.
Wow. Wow.
It's more than two bits, but it's still a decent.
A shave and a haircut, two bits, right?
Yeah. That's what I was doing.
So that's good, though. I think you look presentable. I you know, no longer am I slightly afraid that this crazy hobo will kill us with his bundle of sticks.
You want to know what? That's kind of disappointing because I felt like that was really something I had going for me. Like I had this, like, you know, at the end of the day, people are kind of afraid that I'm going to murder them and leave their body amongst all the others in a drainage ditch.
Right, right. And then feast on a can of beans that the metal lid is still sort of hanging off the edge. Yep, yeah, all jagged.
Yeah. As like one drop of blood forms on my lip, like I've eaten it so fast.
Yep.
Yeah, right next to a stick with a bandana tied around.
And
the
you ate it with it with your fingerless gloves. So you just scooped it out with your two fingers. Yeah, I know the stereotype. I've seen
the quaint ideal of hobos.
This is like I should write a business book, like you know, like how to you know, achieve your inner power. You know, like this is, you can go across from a negotiating table and get the right deal that'll get you your promotion if you look like a hobo that might murder them.
Well, you are a book machine lately. Why not put that on your list of books to auteur in the next couple of years, man?
Book machine might be not the best. I think I'm good at preparing for books. I don't know how good I am at writing them. I was good at writing one, and then the second one, not so good.
Yeah. Well, it takes it's a special kind of hobo commitment that you just have to reach down and find. It's always good to have Jerry here. He comes on Tuesdays, and we talk about usually just whatever. I don't know whatever's on your mind right now, but I can't wait. So open this package, lay it out on the table, and tell us what's going on.
Man. I want to go back to something you guys were talking about yesterday. This whole Scott, you got this whole empty nest syndrome.
Oh man, and I know, and I still got two kids in the nest, so I don't know why I feel this way, but it's weird. And she's lived on her own in her own apartment with her own job and car and everything else for like a year and a half. So I don't know what I'm doing. Why I feel this way? It's weird.
Well, let me ask you this, because I feel like. I will speak for an element of this community that, of course, loves you and your family. I said this on Twitter when Taylor, the whole proposal thing happened, like your family is the model family. And I do believe that very, very sincerely.
Aww.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
7 months courtship and then they're getting married like what? I guess next weekend.
September. Right? But yeah, your point is made. Yes.
How fast would be too fast for you? Because you were very supportive. You told, I think you said on this show, like, you know, 2 weeks into them dating that he was going to marry your daughter.
I had
like,
a feeling. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it like, is there such a thing as too fast, and or is it completely moot depending on who the person is?
Okay. I would say that there's too fast would be, I met him Friday and we're getting married next week. That to me is too fast. Then there's kind of too fast, which would be like we've been dating a month and now we're getting married this you know, next week kind of thing, so like a month later. I feel like 7-8 months of dating and then picking a date 2 months later after you've proposed is a little fast, but not that fast. And there is some cultural precedence for this, so I should explain this. The average marriage age, or when people get married, if you take the country as a whole, is probably like 30 or something. That's probably the median. I don't have any statistics here to back this up.
I would definitely say, like, once you are past, at least just anecdotally, once I got past 25, could not get through a year without multiple weddings.
Yeah, correct. That's when your friends all start getting married. 25 to 30, we'll say. And I think that's pretty fair. And but if you do that same poll and you do it here in Utah, and it's going to vary state to state for various cultural reasons, but people do tend to get married younger here. And I don't know what that is in the culture or why it is necessarily, but it does seem to happen. I don't mean people are getting married when they're 16, but, you know, 20 is not unusual. 20 up to 25 is not unusual. I was married when I was 22. Mm-hmm. I had my first kid, her, this one we're talking about, had her in at the age of 25 or 24, whatever it was, in 1994. I can't remember when. Or no, I would have been 24. So, I don't know why that is, but her being married or getting married or engaged at 20 and him at 22, which is what they are, is not unusual here at all. That seems about right to everybody.
I don't think that, like, the age, and I guess maybe that's just the thing, is if you're doing it that young, it's like, it's not like you have room for like a year long, year and a half, 2 year relationship, you know, prior. Right. Like, but that's it. It's like, man, I don't know if there's anything that I have thought about for 7 months and been sure of. a forever commitment that, like, is an emotional bedrock for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Well, even Kim and I dated for probably for 6 months or something, and then got engaged, and then still had a 9 month engagement.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, Tina and I had, I think, over a year engagement.
Yeah. And that's not uncommon here. I mean, that's, like, they were just like, well, what do we, I mean, they asked the question, well, what are we waiting for? I'm like, well, I don't know. You're both, I mean, school's going good for both of you. Jobs are going good for both of you. You're both all set for this. No one's living in anyone's basement. Like, this is, why not just go? I was like, all right. You know, I mean, that was more of why that decision of let's have the wedding in a couple of months was that what are the reasons we shouldn't? And they couldn't come up with any. So
yeah. I guess from what I have known, the people who have put together were like on the people on the other side, friends of mine who have gotten married. And then on the other side, it's just always the planning. The planning is just always more of a bear than you ever imagine. And to put it, you know, if it's a year, then it's going to be a pain in the butt for a year, but it's like a more low grade pain in the butt. If it's 6 months, then it's, you know, that much more intense. And if it's, you know, apparently long weekend for you guys, then running around.
Kim is a freak, as we know, and can do, you know, I've seen her single-handedly feed 400 homeless people in one night, for example. I've seen her do crazy things, and she is kind of chief planner in this. They've already got it all freaking figured out. I was sitting down with her yesterday. She goes, I got this, I got this, I got this, and we're under budget, and all we got to do is get you a suit, and we're good. We got this, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like they're way down the road. Also, people should understand this about my daughter, and perhaps this has something to do with us. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just her. But she is not interested in flamboyance for flamboyance sake. She does not want to do the stereotype. Everything's got to be the best, absolute, most expensive, ridiculous, thousands of people come, cater everything to the hilt kind of experience. Not interesting to her at all. She would prefer to have things more low key. She would like to have things a little bit more hipstery and kind of, you know, a little bit goofy. She is not that. What's the show on A&E or whatever it is where the brides fight all the time?
Oh, Bridezilla or
none of that is happening here.
I'm a crazy bride lady.
Yeah. I think
that's the name of the show.
Exactly. And that's not her at all. Not even at all. So because that's true, this is so much easier. Like, everything about it is really not all that much stress. She wants to make her own invitations because she's, you know, artistically inclined, does photography, wants to make it the way she would want to make it. She doesn't want to have a bunch of people, you know, come in and sit and have meetings about how these things should look. Because I think she knows that when this is over, when it blows over and then the wedding is done and life kicks in and you're starting off, that none of that stuff's going to really be what mattered. What will matter is that her family was there and that his family was there and that we were all kind of united behind them and that they have plans and that they have been smart about those plans and that they're doing all this in the right order. And, you know, I mean, I think those are where her values are at right now. And it's making that whole process way less of a headache than it would be.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it's something special. You guys have a system. And I guess what my point is not to say like, oh, man, that's crazy. Like, it's just like if you and Kim only knew each other for 5 months before you got engaged, then it's like, I think you guys might have, you might have something figured out. I feel like I am coming to the more evolved culture, and I just want to understand ways. I am but a humble savage who needs to bring this back to mind.
No, there's nothing. I don't think any of this is magic or any of that. I just think that we found a groove. That's all. And it's, you know, a big part of it. I have to give all this credit to Kim, because when we got married, I've told the story before, but when we were engaged, we went almost the 9-month engagement, and a month before, all this planning had been done, all this stuff had been going on. But even then we were pretty low key. I drew my wedding invitations. I did a caricature of me and Kim in it. So that's the kind of world I was living in then, even.
The world you were living in then. If you were to get remarried today, tell me you wouldn't draw your wedding.
I would totally do it. That's my point. It's like I have no interest in some lacy, frilly bullshit. I want to have real meat to, you know, something that's cool that you can always talk about and be proud of. And that, you know, I still have those invitations and they're totally good. And they're stupid though, because I couldn't draw as well then. But anyway, the bottom line, my main point is this, is that, a month before, I called her and said, I don't know if I can do this. And she said, what? I said, this is all so fast. I don't know if I'm ready for marriage. I don't know if the responsibility, just totally cold feet in my way through a conversation with her on the phone. And this is if anyone wants to know the most important moment in my marriage, this was it. Because she said, and then we weren't even married yet. She said to me on the phone, I finished giving her my boo-hoo wimpy guy story about how we should delay things and I need to find myself and all this freaking bull crap.
All right. All right. Now hold on. Wait, before we get to the denouement, the big conclusion of wisdom that Kim gave you, put me in the place of panicked month before the wedding, Scott, like what were you doing? Like, what was your job? Like, was there a moment when you just said, all right, I got to call Kim, I at least have to tell her this.
I feel like I was just scared of the unknown. I was scared of what this was going to be or could be, or it was like I was resigning. Like, I knew it was the long haul. Like, I was definitely kind of guy that was not going to be, all right, well, we'll see how this goes. And if it isn't working out, I mean, divorce isn't easy. You know, that was never like a thought. This is the big deal. If I'm doing this, I'm doing it for good. And that's a huge step. And in my mind, there's all these unknowns about family, about kids, about jobs, about careers, about school, about all these things. And I always picture myself living by myself in a loft apartment in some city somewhere, you know, painting all day. I mean, that was the
own mythology. Is
correct.
That like, that's how you saw yourself as and either consciously or subconsciously kind of a different way of the culture you grew up in, where people get married at 21.
Correct. So because of that, I didn't know what this domesticated kind of thing was going to be, and it just scared me. I mean, it was just simple fear. There was nothing. There was no other motives or any kind of weirdness. It was just simple fear. So I said to her, I don't know if I can do this. And she said, and this is the one story we always agree on that both of us remember it exactly right. Right? She says,
on the phone?
Yeah. She says to me, yeah, I called her. That's the worst thing.
That's a weak sauce. Dude.
I know. It really was. I was a total puss.
Well, this is before texting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you obviously do it on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, imagine. I mean, this was 92. Just imagine what the world would have been like now. But
call her 1-800-COLLECT.
So I said, I don't know if I can do it. And she says to me, she pauses for a minute. She didn't cry. She didn't get all blubbery. She didn't say, but, you know, there were none of the things that I kind of, in a weird way, hoped she would do, like show some weakness so I could justify my position.
Yeah.
She didn't do any of that. She said, all right, well, have fun. Let me know when you grow up, and hung the phone up on me. Now, so she dropped the mic, basically, hung the phone up on me, and went out on a date that weekend with some guy I didn't know. The point was, she showed
a Wikipedia power move.
Yeah. And I immediately, as soon as I hung up, immediately knew that this was a mistake, that I had screwed up, and that this was totally on me. Like, it was clarity. The definition of clarity hit me. That this was so stupid. What are you doing? I can't believe you told her that. You have to turn this around.
How long did this go? How long was this blip?
The blip lasted maybe 2-3 days. after the phone call.
So did you have any point of like just that the did you immediately regret it? Was it like
immediately? Like,
at least I get to play video games right
now. No.
Buddy barking in my ear about a wedding.
I want to go play Wolfenstein for a couple hours. No, I immediately knew it was a mistake and knew that this was Scott 101 on how not to do a thing. And I kind of struggled with it for a couple of days, got my crap together, drove over there. I don't remember what I had, some big flowers or something. I basically got on my knee and asked, you know, basically begged her to forgive me for being such a goof. And she said, I just want you to know I'm serious. I'm serious about this. And then I am in it to win it. And you just about lost that. And I just, it was rough, like rough. But it taught me something. It taught me that I absolutely needed to end up with somebody with this kind of strength, this kind of fortitude, somebody who is not just going to fall apart because, quote unquote, the man in her life is being an ass. You know,
yeah.
I needed that. Didn't know I needed it until then, but I knew from then on that was absolutely the person I needed to be with. That was who I wanted to raise my children. That's who I wanted to grow old with. And that was it. Like, that was the key. That was the moment. So I don't know what your original question was, but that.
I have no idea how we got onto this.
I don't know either.
Great story.
Yeah, it worked out good. I mean, and I was still chicken and I was still terrified, but I just knew I had to do it and I knew it was the right thing. And, you know, it was like having the first kid when Taylor was born. I think I was more sick than Kim was and in more pain because I was empathying all the hell and back. I was terrified of what kind of dad I was going to be. Like, all of these fears kicked in. And I remember there was the night she was in labor at like 3 a.m. She's over there breathing and trying to get through it. She's going natural, by the way, her choice. Because she's freaking tough as nails. And I'm sitting in this chair, and every time she'd have a contraction, I'd get up out of the chair and I'd come hold her hand real tight and talk to her and stuff. And then as soon as she'd done, I'd go laying in this chair again because I felt terrible. I felt sick and scared. And the nurse walks in and goes, says to Kim, who's in the throes of natural labor, childbirth, says, is he okay? I'm like, gosh dang it. What is wrong with me? So that was like a real eye-opening experience as well and taught me again, man, look how freaking tough she is. Like, look what she can do. And I'm over here wimping in a chair someplace. Then that, you know, that got easier. Second kid, total piece of cake. I was, if anything, I was too aloof. You know, third one, even easier. So anyway.
Playing Snake on your Nokia phone?
Yeah. Why? I guess the whole point, I know what the whole point was. The point was what, you know, why am I not worried about the quick planning of this wedding and this all happening so quickly? It's because in Kim we trust around here. She's on it. She's got it. She's got it.
Now we've cracked the code.
Yeah.
Now I understand. Because my initial question was, how fast would be too fast?
Yeah.
And I think we've found the question. Fast is too fast when Kim says it's too fast.
Yeah, that's. I mean, there's truth in that.
If it were 3 weeks in and Kim was like, you want to know what? Great guy, great family. I think he's got a lot of prospects. We've actually, you know, friend of my friend has known him forever. Uh-huh. He's always been a good boy.
Right.
Then you'd be like, well, you know, listen, it's 3 weeks. It's a little fast, but that seems okay. But if it were a year and a half and Kim were raising the red flag as if somebody was offsides in soccer, you would be like, I don't know. Maybe this is a little too soon.
Right, right. No, yeah, you're right. And yeah, I don't know. Everything seems to be coming, but I'm still a freak about it. I'm still the one going, oh my gosh, what are we doing? Do we have that figured out yet? And she's like, we got it. Everything's fine. So she's, you know, she's once again here 20 some odd years later of marriage. She's still reminding me that, no, we got this. Don't quit worrying about it. Everything's under control. And it'll all work out.
God, keep it off the phone.
Yeah.
You know, just if you have to discuss something, do it in person.
Yeah, we do it all that in person now. You know, and I'm always going, like, she'll leave with her to go look at dresses. I'm like, all right, don't bankrupt me. And she'll just give me this look like, really, we're going to do this again. You know, because she's going to go. She's going to be smart. She's going to get the right deal. It's going to be, you know, we're not just going to throw money around like idiots. And they tire of me doing that. But it's almost like my built in reaction. I have to be that guy that's like, you know, slight passive aggression kicks in and I have to go, all right, well, I guess I'll take another job while we do this.
Because with the timetable on this, this will make a good TMS or radio kind of bit, right?
Right.
you believe you are going to be more or less stressed as you get closer to the day?
I believe, like, I will get more stressed, yeah.
Okay.
Kim does not, but
this,
I believe
this is the beginning.
That.
This is the most mentally together you will be.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This subject right now. And every week that I come on, you will be increasingly closer and closer to the precipice of insanity.
Well, I know what I'm most dreading. I can tell you right now what I'm dreading the absolute most for the whole experience. And that is that dance with her. That's going to kill me. I'm not going to be able to keep it together. Like, just, you know, when I go out and do the daddy-daughter dance thing, that's going to be rough. Yeah. You know, like, when the first thing she did after the engagement video that everybody saw, the first thing she did was come over to me and put her arm around me and tell me how much she loved me, right? Now, I'm not trying to get all sappy here, but the point is that this is the relationship I have with my daughter, and I am about to quite literally, or at least culturally, give her away. She's not mine to give. She's her own to give, but there's still that thing.
A little medieval in some of the terminology.
It is. It's weird, that stuff. It's fine. It, whatever. It's all, it's words. But the point is that there is still this very real feeling of this is a brand new chapter and there's a separation happening here. And that, you know, that we will always have the closeness. It's not like any of that's going away. And she's super sweet about all of this stuff. And she so wants me to be in it, to win it with her on this and all that stuff. And I've got her back and everything's great. But you get me out on that dance floor and we have to do a dance. That might just be the, that might be the end of it.
That's going to be the trigger.
Oh my gosh. That I'm dreading it because I just know how it's going to be an emotional, you know, nuke. It will just blast. It'll throw everyone back to the wall like some bad Jackie Chan scene.
Go the other way. I would bet. And as you know, if Mitsula's drawing up the odds sheet, you know, like I think I'm gonna go no tears on the daddy daughter dance.
You think so?
By that point, I feel like you're gonna be. It's just gonna be. You have a steel reserve.
Now, did you see him at Nerdtacular 2 years ago when he had to read that?
No, I lost
email.
It. Yeah. No, that was, well, Hugh hadn't come yet, so he missed that. So I read this sad email.
You may want to change your bets. Right,
yeah,
there,
I think Hibbett's got the inside scoop.
Now, here's what I'm saying, though, is I feel like at that point in the wedding, there are, whoever designed the modern wedding designed like 9 cry points.
Yeah, triggers, yep.
You think he's going to be all out of tears by that point.
I'm just saying that, like, usually at that point, like, I've gone to weddings where there have been very emotional fathers, people who have had great relationships with their daughters and everything. At that point, it's usually everybody, it's like the emotion has been beaten out of them.
Mm. Yeah, maybe I'll be exhausted.
Desensitized at that point.
It's just, it's one where I think like it's almost like it's happy that you are at. Also, remember, at that point, especially if you're the father of the bride, you are 5 hours into your day of fairly nonstop, go here, do this, go here, do this, remember this, remember that, sit down, stand up, go to this other place, remember to handshake this person, you're meeting a bunch of family, like that you are, that's a long day, you know, like it's not like you're just sitting there contemplating every little, you know, jagged edge that could make the waterworks flow.
Now, right. See, normally I'd agree with you, Jerry, but that's going to be the point, you know, like he's going to be in the, you know, sitting down in the pews looking up at, you know, for the first couple cry points. And then, you know, there's the walking down the aisle cry point. But I think that when he's out on the dance floor, it's going to be some trigger of a song and all the people watching. And this is kind of the it, you know, basically this is the thing you do in the wedding reception that is kind of the last of those cry points. And I think that the fact that it is the significant last cry point, I think is going to be the
trigger.
It'll
be like, this is the end.
I'm taking that action.
I'll upbeat with the daddy-daughter song. Everybody goes with the sad song. Why don't you go with a happy song?
Well, I don't even know. She's going to pick it, so I don't even know what she'll pick. I mean, she's kind of, if there's one thing.
City on rock and roll. Well,
if there's one thing my daughter and I don't always agree upon, it is her enjoyment of anything that sounds like Vampire Weekend, and I'm kind of done with that. So I don't know what she's going to pick, that may ruin it. Yeah, she loves Vampire Weekend and anything that sounds like it, which there turns out tons of it.
Oxford comma. That would be a great daddy-daughter song.
Yeah, Yeah. Or what's that? Who's that band that sings Running in Your Kicks with Guns or whatever the hell that band is?
Foster the Giant.
Is it? I don't know. Whatever.
Foster the people.
Yeah, or some, the Giant, Foster the People.
Or there'll be some OK Go business or some kind of weird, I don't know. Like there'll be the whole, whatever the aughts produced and was considered music. That's what probably she'll pick. And that may be it. So I'm just coming from a pure non-emotional betting perspective.
It's like a Franz Ferdinand song.
Yeah. It may support your theory that the waterworks don't kick in because the music may not do it for me. Or she may play Faithfully from Journey, which is Kim and I's song, and then that'll just kill me.
They say that the road ain't no place to start.
Right. Right.
So I'm... just don't go with the, because doing the wedding DJ thing for a couple of years, the one thing that always, you know, Joey Martino's Daddy's Little Girl seemed to be the...
We're not doing that.
No, don't do that one.
No, yeah,
that,
my daughter's way like too...
Nine out of ten weddings, and that was one obviously not picked by the bride or the groom. That was picked by the mom and dad.
No, she's the... Horrendous. I guarantee that ain't happening.
it's picked by unimaginative people.
Right.
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 Yes. Right.
And that's their
turn. Oh, it mentions daddy and girl in it. Oh,
that's adorable. There are
certain weddings that I go to that I'm like, you want to know what? I expected more. Like, I know it's your special day and I know you guys got a lot of stuff, but you're both very interesting, creative, intelligent people. You owe yourself better than, you know, the dance with my daughter, like country song that everybody plays.
Yeah. We're not doing Boot Scoot Boogie. I can promise you that.
Electric Slide making an appearance.
Nope.
Chicken Dance.
Nope. Nope.
Breaky Heart.
Nope. Cotton Eye Joe. F off. None of that.
What's the new one? The wobble.
Oh, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. That thing.
Classic. Oh.
What's it?
LMFAO.
I'm going to find it. Is that them? That's not them, is it?
Cupid Slide. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Here we go.
Here. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. All right, I'm going to play it. Here you go. Here's a taste of it. It's Jason. Wait.
Oh.
Jason Derulo or something?
Okay.
Wait. Oh, this isn't a wedding song.
Hold on. Yeah, I think it's about butts.
Hey, yo, Jason.
Isn't it about butts?
It's probably about butts. Specifically about butts.
I'm trying to... Here, skip ahead here, buddy.
Yeah, 69 notes. That's what I was thinking, ironic name.
There you go. Just a little biddle. Just a little biddle. All right, well, yeah, we're not doing that.
No, Jason Derulo asked very politely, what you going to do with that big fat butt?
Well, I mean, we got three or four options. One of them is to wiggle it. So there you go.
Just a little bit, which is a whole nother,
whole nother story. It'll be interesting. Interesting couple of months. I will, of course, chronicle it the best I can without, you know, pissing any person.
Girl, I thought when you were talking about on the show, like, oh, I think this guy's going to marry my daughter. I'm like, man, that's a lot of pressure. Like, and who knows how much of a relationship she or her boyfriend have with the fact that there is a mouthpiece here that gets out to thousands of people or is, you know, as we saw at Nerdtacular, kind of, you know, a part of people's lives in a way that we all, you know, really appreciate and enjoy.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know, now, like, it's not only a wedding, it's a wedding that is kind of a radio bit, right?
Kind
of,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fodder.
And they've all come to this understanding, even he has, that this is kind of my way of dealing with it, you know? Like, this is my way of taking it in and processing it and dealing with the whole idea of it and just, you know, turning a big life moment into a thing I can parse. I do it through this show, through diary posts, through, you know, whatever. And I don't know why that works for me, but it does. It's therapeutic and it's good, and I feel like I'm better on the other side for it, so... That is just the way of things, and I think she's okay with it. Like, no one batted an eye that I videotaped that proposal and put it all over the internet as soon as it happened. She was like, oh, this is so great. Look at all the nice people, people are saying and stuff. Our perspective on that kind of exposure is a positive one. We don't look at it as a trolley mess like much of the internet. We look at it as a positive, supportive group of people who are interested, and, you know, nobody said anything bad about it. Nobody had one bad comment to say, and if anyone thought one, they held it in. So... I don't
say anything bad about an engagement video.
This is the internet, man. People say stuff, you know, they do things and they say things. And for whatever reason, I am now, I feel like I've entered an era in the Frog Pants universe where this is just not happening very much anymore. so I don't have to worry about it. And the kids are comfortable in it, and Kim's comfortable in it, and everyone's happy right where we're at. So, yeah, it's good. And it'll be a great wedding. I'm stoked. I'm just nervous, you know?
Steadily on the path to madness.
Yeah. You're probably right. There's probably just a stage or a step closer. Like, my first thought was, because I reserved a booth at Comic-Con in September, early September, well before this engagement. And we're going to, you know, Carter and I are going to sell prints and all this stuff. And
you guys are going down to Comic-Con?
No, to the Salt Lake Comic-Con in September. Comic-Con. Yeah, I'm not going to the July one. No way in hell. Oh my gosh, no. Not right now. There's too much going on. Anyway, so we were all planning it. As soon as I heard about the thing, I'm like, oh my gosh, should I cancel our table? Because this the planning. And Kim's like, no, we got it. Just, you're still doing that. It's only a weekend. Don't worry. Everything's fine. But in my mind, I'm going, but there's all the other things now. Who wants to think about selling a print of an AT-AT and a guy walking it at a park while this is happening? So that's the way I react. And then they all calmly take care of it. And then it all works out. But you're right.
Slow. It's a thing. You get to express those feelings here on the show. And if you did not have an outlet for which you could do it, then your daughter, like her mother, would get a call from Scott saying, a month out, you know, I don't think I can do this. You know, I really thought a lot about it. And I think, hey, I need a break.
I mean, some people have suggested to me that me freaking out about this stuff all the time is what has helped it not be bad. In other words,
without a doubt.
Yeah. In other words, me being so concerned about being a good father to my kids before they were born probably helped me be a better father because, that was what other genuine emotion can you have than fear? You know, like, it's one of the most intense things you can experience in your life. So perhaps that fear of doing badly, I don't know. I mean, you could argue both sides. Wendy and I have had big conversations about this before, but that seemed to have worked out okay, you know?
You can't mythologize your stuff that happened before in a way that kind of explains everything. You know, there's it's a reason why prequel movies suck is because not everything that happened afterward is defined by what happened before. The details of a great story are what happened in the moment and how you react to it and everything. And certainly the past informs that, but it's not this isn't predestiny, you know, this is not something that's kind of laid out. It's ever evolving, and that's what makes it interesting. Yeah. And for you, you know, you just your instincts in whatever, you know, wherever you were in your early 20s when you met Kim were absolutely right. And the fact that you realize things oh, hey, listen, I didn't know if I realized that what I needed was somebody who's just going to say, stop being a crybaby and, you know, evolve to big boy pants, please let me know.
That's basically it.
You know, but that's something that you needed. And that was something that, you know, continued to inform your decisions going forward. And that wasn't guaranteed.
No.
Right?
No.
You still had to follow down that path, but you did. And that's what matters. And now you have, you know, now you're watching this, your own story on some other level, you know, granted gender flipped, you know, kind of echo out in real time right now, which is its own kind of journey.
Its own bag of stinky cheese. I got to figure out how to deal with it. Seal that thing up. You know,
I'm the guy who's 31 and has none of these experiences.
Yeah, but you got a perfectly coiffed beard, and what else can you ask for in life than that?
It's funny. I've gotten into discussions. He said politically, avoiding the term argument. Yeah. With Ashley about the idea of asking for the hand in marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she is very much of the mind that you're not marrying my dad, right?
Right.
You
know? It's hers to give, not his.
Yeah. Like, it's weird.
Which I agree. By the way, I agree with in terms of philosophically. But I also think the tradition of it has some charm. That's all.
Here's all I'm saying is if I'm looking to, you know, if we are joining our houses in the Baratheon Stark terminology, it's like, I got to deal with this dude forever, right? Until he's dead.
Yeah.
So it's like, we might as well just get things off to a good start, right?
Yeah.
You might as well start things off saying yo, by the way, how you doing, man?
Yeah.
Let's go forward with this, right?
Yeah, and it can be seen. You take away all that political correctness of it all, or whatever. It can be seen as a sign of respect, a sign of I know I don't have to do this, but I want to do this, you know? Like, there's a difference between wanting to do something because of tradition or having to do it. Mm-hmm. And he clearly wanted to, and I even told him at the end of it, I said, you know, you wouldn't even have had to have asked me, and we already think you're an awesome kid, and I'm fully aware of the kind of devotion you're showing toward her, and blah, blah, blah. And I told him that, but and I really meant it, but he really felt like that was important. He really wanted to establish that connection and to have that moment. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And this isn't me. This is me also acknowledging that, especially depending on relationships, but if there's a daughter who wants to get married, the dad, and she's over 18, the dad should have zip to say about the contrary. You know,
sure.
All that does is sow, you know, deceit and pain. So why would you want to do that anyway? I'm just really glad I'm in a position where I didn't have to do that, you know, or where there's no reason to do that, where it's all on the up and up, where he can do that and ask me, where they are prepared, where they have great ideas. It's not some, I'm going to get a guitar, man, and we're going to travel the country, and that's how we're going to live, man. I mean, they're
going to sell merch for the Grateful Dead, man.
Right. We got this, man. We just live in a tent. It's none of that. And so I don't, you know, it's funny because all my stuff that I'm worried about is all stupid because it's all fine. He's in pre-med. He's going to be a freaking doctor. He's got all these plans. He's been wanting to do it his whole life. He's a totally sweet kid. He called my, you know, wife on her birthday. He's just a sweet kid. And what else do I want? That's all I want. I want her to be with somebody who's awesome. So I don't have any room to complain.
I'll tell you what, it is good that this is only going to be like a month and a half engagement, because you're right. You already looking into insanity's gaping maw.
A little bit, you know, and then I'm worried, you know, then I start thinking, oh man, Carter's 17, and right now I'm having like the best time of my life with her, and we're drawn all the time, and we're nerding out about everything, and comparing fantasy books, and, you know, it's like I'm living with such a fun friend of a daughter, but one day that's her too, and then they're going to take her away, and then Nick, what's Nick going to do?
Away like it's the shadow ghost.
Anyway, enough about me and my weird life.
This is what everybody wants to hear.
Well, some people do.
And you tell the really nice story, and it's very good and everything, and there's just like that one layer of neuroses that's on there, and then I come on and only want to deal with the neuroses.
Right. Thank you for that.
Yeah. That I care about in life is everybody's neuroses, including mine.
Well, it keeps you from having to focus on your own. See, you can.
No. It really, it only just gives me more to compare and contrast my own neuroses with. That's really all it is. I'm just looking for more ways that I can run these same things over and over in my head,
yeah.
Which is why I think we get along, Scott, is that I think we are both heart on our sleeve, this is how crazy we are kind of people.
Yeah, I think so. I can't do the other way where I hide it. So I get that. I've kind of surrounded myself with mostly people like that. Like a lot of the, you know, people I work with, like Brian and others, we're all pretty, you know, we are who we are kind of folk. There's not a lot of hidden agenda stuff going on, at least not very much. And that's good, I think. I think it's good for the audience. At least I think it is. I don't know. I don't know what works. How's this all working? What are we doing? What is this show? What are we doing? Where are we? What is? Who are you?
What's this in my mouth?
Oh my gosh! All right. Well, Justin, before we let you go, there's always something fun happening in your universe, and on the weekends now you do that the night attack. There is that still? Yeah. What's going on? What's your big plan? What's going on?
New episode of Night Attack is up. We have you guys heard about the startup spelling bee we're doing throughout?
Yeah, you've tested us with one of those right here on the show. I love that.
That was a really cool idea, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Molly Wood, the lead technology columnist for the New York Times, was on, and she tied Patrick Norton 2 out of 8to secure, if everything ended now, secure her passage into the Startup Spelling Bee Finals this fall. So you can go ahead and check out how that happened. And we also had the return of Owen J.J. Stone, a.k.a. O'Doctor, which was great. He very much enjoyed returning to an uncensored format. And,
oh, I bet he did, yeah.
I don't know how much I enjoyed him returning.
Well, yeah.
And that's saying something.
Yes,
so,
it is.
Go ahead and download that. And then Tuesdays, keeping the home fires burning because we moved NSFW or we moved NSFW to Night Attack and Night Attack to Sundays. So we decided to keep the home fires burning here on Tuesdays. I'm going to do a one mic show, which you can download. It's called Jury Talks, but it's going to be on DiamondClub.tv the same way that Night Attack was on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. If you like this show, or sorry, like this, my segment on the morning stream, you will very much like Jury Talks. It's a lot of the same, just talking about whatever the hell.
Some deep life stuff, man.
Wow.
That's what that is. People do check it out. Justin R. Young on Twitter. Dude, have a safe day. And don't go taking wooden nickels or something to that effect.
Hell yeah.
Bye. All right.
See ya.
All right. Well, there you go. Oh, too much Scott. Wow. Too much Scott.
I was digging into the deep of you, man.
Yeah, that was, too much. I feel exposed. I feel raw. I got like an open wound now, and there's a small bird pecking at it. Hey, look at us. We're doing a show here. We're almost done. I'm going to tell you, Brian, real quick, that this show is brought to you by TweakedAudio.com. There are many of you out there right now listening to my voice over your Tweaked Audio earbuds, and you're thinking, oh, man, these guys sound so good, even at 96K.
Crystal clear, baby.
Right. Engineer for durability, you know that. I hit a guy's wiener and they gave me a new pair. They weren't even broken.
No, that's very true.
broken in a much different way. Compatible with iPods, iPhones, Android phones, MP3 players, all that kind of stuff. Lifetime warranty on all of it. Check them out now at tweakedaudio.com and use the code STREAM for 33% off. That's the code STREAM for a third off your price at tweakedaudio.com. And that is going to do it for a show. Quick note of business. People have these little short segment bumpers that we do at the top of segments. Brian reads them. You hear them all the time. Right now, there's currently kind of a backlog. And so if you're wondering, hey, why is mine not played yet? It's just in order. So we get through them in the order we get them. And then when yours comes up, it's, you know, it is when it is. So I don't have a way to control that. A lot of times it's easy because they'll clear out in a day and then we do a next set the next day. But right now we're backlogged for a couple of days. And so if you haven't heard yours yet, worry not. We haven't forgot about you. We'll get you in there. And that's it. Reminder about patreon.com/TMS. Go support us. It means a lot to us. And
it totally does, yeah.
Makes a huge difference.
Let's just keep doing what we do.
Yeah, I don't know how long. I feel like the show, the minute we did Patreon and the minute you guys made it successful, and as that grows, it's the moment I realized, ooh, okay, now we can viably do this for a lot longer than maybe we could have before.
Right.
And that's exciting, I think. For me and for you. So
totally.
And hopefully for the listener. So anyway, go check that out. Also, you can find us on the web, frogpants.com/TMS. You can email us your thoughts and feelings. We'll read emails tomorrow. So looking forward to more emails. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is that address. And on Twitter, MorningStream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville.
Yes.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Justin. And thanks, Daryl, for being on the show today. Really appreciate it. Brian, anything else? Yeah. Have I forgotten anything?
I don't think you've forgotten anything.
Okay. Well, let's get the hell out of here at the 2-hour mark. Wow, get some music. What are we doing?
I do, and it's funny, this thing just closed up on me, so I'm reopening it. Oh no.
Oh,
you're like Neo's mouth in that scene in the Matrix.
Where did I put my link? All right. Hi Scott and Brian. On July 11th, it is my wife's 30th birthday, so I'd be grateful if you could play a song for her on Thursday the 10th. Well, we're moving it this way. My phone is going off. No! Decline. I know, exactly. One of her favorite games from the NES was Metroid, and her favorite song from the game is the music from Kraid's Lair. On YouTube, there's an excellent piano version of the song, and I know she would be very happy if you could play it for her. And then he gave me a link to it. Happy birthday, Linda, from your husband, Soren, and son, Theodore. Thanks, Soren. Yeah, this is a great cover. You know, we've got a couple. There's an Andrew Allen cover out there, too, that I think is pretty damn good. But this one's okay.
Nice.
You know, it's an Andrew Allen trio. No, this is by Tedesco Creations. You can find it on YouTube. It's a cover of Metroid, Kraid's Lair, and it goes out to Soren and family.
All right. Well, don't forget.
You underestimate the power of my rod.
All right. Don't forget it. You've underestimated it, you fools. It's Metroid. Kraid's Lair. We'll be back tomorrow with Tom, with Nicole, and more. See you then. Sort of. Wait. There. Jeez.
podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Diarrhea.